one sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee.
It's time to open the Word once again with Evangelist Lester Roloff on the Family Altar Program.
Glory, for all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
All right, Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Now, I read this morning. And as you know, we were in Matthew chapter 11 last night. That great invitation, the greatest invitation, and the one is rejected by so many people. When he said, come unto me, all ye that labor, every one of you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. Ye shall find rest unto your soul. Now everybody is in one or two yokes. There's only two yokes. There's only two ways. There's only two places to spend eternity. And everybody's in the yoke with Jesus, or you're in the yoke with the devil. Now, just be honest about it. Since some of you have changed yokes, of course, most of you have. We must constantly watch jealousy, envy, criticism, and a wrong spirit. Constantly watch it, see. Pride goeth before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Now, in the 12th chapter, we're going to find some things about Jesus. This is a wonderful chapter. I'm going to give you the first one over in the, of course, they criticized him for doing something on the Sabbath. And he said, well, what man, verse 11, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep? And if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? I read the other day over in the book of, Exodus where, if you find a neighbor who's an enemy and his ox is going astray, you got to go get him, bring him back, even if he's your enemy. If you find even the enemy's animal that's bowed under a mighty load and can't get up, you're supposed to help him out. That's in the Old Testament. That's before Jesus was ever here in the fullness of the Spirit, the Bible's ever written, and except maybe a couple of books. And you know, I just thought, if they had that kind of a spirit, and you take Moses and you take Abraham and many of the men back in the Old Testament. I'm going to speak on the finger of God, God's finger. God's got a finger. Do you know that? He sure has. And Jesus said one day, of course, they said it's, well, we'll get to it in a minute. But he said, if I, with the finger, with my finger, you think about it. He said, to me, that's a great thought. He said, I'll take my finger and cast out the devil. Well, you know what he can do? Old Satan come in and he point that finger and said, beat it. Get out of here! Put the finger on him, see? Well, that's power, isn't it? I mean, that's heavenly power right there, see? Listen, now I'll tell you something else. When God points his finger at you, too, in your unbelief and sin, you better watch him. I mean, you better fall under. I mean, you better drop to your prayer bones and say, Lord, don't let that finger tear me apart. But point out my sin, see? He uses the finger, all right. He points out sin. When he points out that sin, you better give it up. See, you know what? You know, it's interesting. This is one. I read it this morning and looked through some scriptures. The finger of God. The finger of God. What does God do with his finger? God has hands and fingers, and God walks, and the Bible talks about us walking with the Lord. He said, now, you're going to go lift him out of the ditch. He said, if I fall in the pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much, then, is a man better than a sheep? Now, that's one of the texts we operate on. We believe that you people, no matter how low, no matter how disappointed, no matter how the devil treated you, we believe you're worth more than all the world to Jesus. He died for you, and as my buddy sang a while ago, who am I? Just who am I? Well, I tell you who I am. You know, everybody ought to memorize Psalm chapter 8, said, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Thou set thy name above, thy glory above the heavens, and out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength to cause thine enemies, that thou mightest still enemy, get him still. Still enemy and the avenger. And then he said, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast made. What is man? What is man? I mean, is he just a piece of dirt? Is he just 8 fingers and 2 thumbs and 10 toes and a couple of eyes and ears? What is man that thou art mindful of him? Why would God have his mind on me today? Why, you could talk to the Heavenly Father and say, Father, what you thinking about? He said, just think about you. Think about that. Think about the Heavenly Father. Who art thou? What is man that thou art mindful? Well, he said he made a little lower than the angel. Made him a little lower than the angel. And crowned him with glory and honor. Can you imagine? You take these people coming in here. We're crowned with dishonor when they come. We're crowned with sin and disappointment. Our old hearts are heavy and our old minds are all crooked. And we go through the DTs and go into convulsions and the old tongue try to swallow to chew it to pieces, you know. Ain't no honor about that. Yet when God gets through, crowns him with glory and honor. Make him stand up in the biggest church in the land and say, I love Jesus. Yeah. Jesus saved me and he blessed me and he delivered me. And think about it. I mean, we got somebody thinking about us today. Yes, sir. I've been thinking about you. He said, mindful of you. All right? How much then is a man better than a sheep? And then he said, it's all right. Now then, I want you to get the 15th verse. When Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. You know what I thought about this morning when I read this? I thought that everybody that comes can be healed. Every last one of them. He used A-double-L. He said all of them. Now, that doesn't leave anybody out. It means that everybody, if you've got a cigarette habit, you'll be healed. If you've got a cursing habit, drinking habit, dope habit, no matter. You'd say, Brother Olaf, how far can you go? Get your mind healed, your body healed, your soul healed. Said, heal them all. I mean, Jesus didn't leave anything out. You never did find Jesus saying, well, I tell you what now. I'm going to save your soul, but I can't do much with your body. I mean, I'll have to leave it like it is. He didn't say that. He never had anybody to come and say, Lord, heal me. And he said, well, I'm just running short on power. Healed yesterday, but I don't have enough today. Oh, no, he didn't. Brother, I tell you, that A-double-L will really challenge you. Do you know that? You go through the Bible and study the word all and just see. He said, all things work together for good to them. We know them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. And so you're included in that all. I mean, I'm not left out of the all. God's sweet all. Oh, what a wonderful. You know, they put out a little car they call a carry-all, see? Thank God I met him a long time ago. He's my carry-all. Yeah, he said, are you weary? Are you heavy-hearted? Tell it to Jesus, see? He'll carry all. Yeah. Amen. Bring it all to him. All of your sin to him. And all of the old ugly stinking past, bring it all to him. And let him cover it all right? Now let's go on into this other verse or two. He said in the 12th verse, he said, verse 18, excuse me, the 12th chapter and the 18th verse. Behold, my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I'll put my spirit upon him. He shall show judgment to the Gentiles. Now, verse 20. We don't like this very well here, but it's got to be said. A bruised reed shall he not break, smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. Now, if it takes judgment for God to get victory, he'll let the judgment come. But it'd be a lot better. Now, the Bible said if you judge yourself, you'll not have to be judged. In other words, if you'll just go ahead and plead guilty yourself and say, Lord, I judge myself guilty, God said, all right, you're already judged. And then we'll run to Jesus. You'll never get saved till you judge yourself lost. You got to set in on the judgment seat. There's one place, there's only one fellow that I can judge. And I tell you, I need to get on the judgment seat every day. I need to climb right up on that old judgment seat every morning and say, all right, Lester Olaf, you're guilty. I find you guilty, and I hereby sentence you to death. I need to accept a death sentence every day. Yeah. I've got to live on death row, that's all, in no other place. I mean, no other way. I mean, when the flesh rises, you know, and said, oh, me. Why can't I be like somebody else? And the flesh cries every day and said, why can't I have something of the world? And I said, you wouldn't be happy if you had it. See, I may not have been through everything some of you have been through, but I tell you what I'll do. I'll just take your word for it here, and I won't have to go myself. I watched them go across the country and change husbands and wives and swap. And I watched them marry half a dozen times, 10 times, 11 times, and I watched them just as miserable as the devil himself. So I tell you what I believe. I'll just stick with the one of God here. Sure will. I believe that'll be enough. And I just believe that it pays to live pure and to be clean. And I tell you, there have been times when my life was not all sure that it ought to be. And you know that. But I tell you, I wasn't happy. Anytime sin creeps up in my life, I'm a miserable fellow. I really am. And not anybody. I mean, you could come and you'd say, well, Brother Roloff, you know, you're just human. And, you know, you hear that. And everybody's got a right. No, you don't have a right to sin after you're saved. Got no right to enjoy sin and to live in it after you're saved by the grace of God. And so he's saying here, you send forth judgment unto victory. Now, verse 22. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, and he was blind and dumb. Now, that's about the way people come here, isn't it? Blind. If they wasn't blind, they wouldn't have ever come here. And you know, one of the reasons I know they're blind is they don't ever come by themselves. You don't ever find a man driving up here in a big black Cadillac or Lincoln Continental, you know. I stayed in the home last week with a fella, and he said he had two Fords. I got up and had a house and had me in a special apartment in it, you know. I mean, everything for living room and all in connection with my, you know. And it's amazing the homes I get to stay in, see. But anyhow, I stayed there. And he got up next morning. He said, now, Brother Roloff, he said, suppose you take the big Ford and I'll take the small Ford. He said, you may want to haul people today. And he said, I'd rather you have the big Ford. I said, well, just as you say. I said, the small one would be all right with me. Huh? Went out there. And of course, his small Ford was a Thunderbird, and his big Ford was a Lincoln Continental. Leatherette and all of it, you know. So I walked out and got in the big Ford. I drove that big Ford all over, you know. I thought that's the biggest Ford I was ever in. Yeah. That's a long ways from my daddy's T-model Ford, I'll tell you that. You know, I just think it'd be stupid for me want to buy a bunch of junk when people just loan me theirs. I mean, it's the truth. I think about that. Why would I ever want? See, when I got through wanting everything, I got everything given to me. I really did. And it'd be so stupid for me if to buy a big Ford, look at the insurance I'd have to pay on the thing. Well, mine, listen, and I didn't even have to pay for any gas. And so, you see, if God's people had behaved themselves, he said he'd supply all of our needs. And notice this verse. He said the devil got a hold of him. He's blind. He's dumb. He healed him insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? That's the world for you. People will try to explain away the very work of the Lord. Right. They'll say, well, he's the son of David. I mean, that's who he is. But listen, this world will do anything on earth but admit that Jesus is the Son of God. Right. They'll admit he's a good man. He was a noble character, and he did much good, and that he was a worthy example. And they'll do everything on earth but just accept him as the Son of God. Right. And until you do believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, the what? The Lord. The Lord. That is right there. That's the one thing this world doesn't want to do. Until they do it, they'll never get saved. Right. Never will be saved. And so is not this the Son of David? But when the Pharisees, now here comes the religious folks along. Here they come. Ah, listen. He said, when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. Now then, the second thing the world will do, they will admit, see, they will admit a miracle, but they'll give the credit to the devil. Are you listening? You think about it. Now, you see, first of all, they'll try to explain Jesus away as human. Second, if they see a miracle they can't deny, they say, well, he got rid of the devil. I mean, no doubt about that. The devil's gone. But the devil did it. We're not going to give God the glory. They will not accept Jesus Christ as the divine Son of God. And the second thing, they'll give the glory to the devil when they do see a miracle. And they'll say, well, and people say, every once in a while, they say, well, I've heard him. Said, well, Brother Roloff, you know, I believe it's just making up your mind, you know. And they said, Brother Roloff, you have sort of a real sway over those people. And said, I've heard them say this, you see, because silly. It's just silly. They'd say, Brother Roloff, you have a tremendous personality, and you kind of overwhelm the people, and you know, just get in there and you get them all excited. It's not, Brother Roloff. If it is, it won't last long. It won't last long. I mean, time you get out the gate up there, you'll be going under. Yeah. Now, I'll guarantee you, I don't have any hypnotic power, brother. If it's not the power of God, I don't want it. Right. I mean, I'm no witch of Endor. And I tell you, I'm not a Chaldean, a fortune teller, a soothsayer. I tell you, I believe I'm a truth teller, and Jesus is the truth. When you get him, you'll have something real. Brother, it's not me or brother anybody else, Jesus. And so Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. Every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he shall divide against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. Now, we won't go into this on the finger of God except just a little. Turn to the book of Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. I believe that's where I saw that. Now, verse 20. Now, this is a similar record, of course. He said, verse 20, if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger, then he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor, wherein he trusted, and then he divideth his spoils. There's a picture of how the devil defrocks a soldier. He'll take the armor away from you. What did God tell you to do? Put on the whole armor of God. Right. Listen, the devil will never defeat one of you dear men or women as long as you're properly clad with the armor of God. Right. And if you want the armor of God, you ought to memorize Ephesians chapter 6. Get every piece of armor. And if you put that on and rightly use it and skillfully use it, the devil will never defeat you. But the first thing the devil's got to do to a child of God, he's got to take his weapons away from him. Because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to pull down strongholds. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, casting down of every imagination, he said. Listen to me. If you folks will put on the whole armor of God and keep it on, when the devil comes, you'll have something to fight with. And it's going to take something besides a wishbone. It's going to take something besides a hope bone, too. It's going to take something besides a think so. Well, are you having a victory?
I think so.
Are you saved? I hope so. I wish. Wish nothing. You've got to get strong in that wishing. And I'll tell you something else. You've got to get strong in a hope so, too. Somebody said, well, I just hope so. Brother, you got to get to know so. Yes, sir. You got to get to the place where you know the Lord has done the work. You see, let me announce this to you. Jesus has never had a problem. He's never had a problem. You'd say, don't you suppose my sin's his problem? No, he didn't have any problems. I mean, he settled that a long time ago. Jesus never has a difficulty. Never. Jesus has never had a doubt. Never. Jesus has never been defeated one time. And I don't think Jesus was ever afraid one time. Not one time. I don't think when the devil made him out in the wilderness, I don't think he went out there saying, Father, I hope you'll give me victory. Why, he went out there with victory in his soul. He couldn't hardly wait to get a hold of old smutty face out there. Yeah. I mean, I believe Jesus enjoys a good clean fight with the devil. And we ought to, too. I mean, we got too many people that they're just kind of scared of the sight of shed blood. And they don't want to hear the gun fire and fiddle. I want to be as close to the front line because the closer you get to the front line, the better you can see your enemy. And I want to see, I mean, I want to be so close to him, I can hear the bullet when it hits him, you know.
Yeah.
Boom! I mean, I'd like to hear him groan a little bit, amen? Come on! We're in a real fight! It's that's your imagination. No, it's not my imagination, brother. It's real.
That's right.
Genuine. We're fighting a real enemy. He's a dirty enemy, too. I wouldn't want to fight a good fellow, though, would you? I wouldn't want to jump on somebody. That's the reason I don't come up here to fight you. No, sir. But I'd like to fight the devil. He's the one. That's the reason I don't... My fight is not with a denomination, not with the church, and not with the preacher. Right. My fight's with the devil. Yes, sir. I mean, I'm to fight him. And so he said, he that's not with me is against me. And he said, if I with the finger of God cast out devils. Now then, you know, let me read on, though. I think we got some things right here in the latter part of this chapter. He said, verse 30, he that is not with me is against me. That's 12:30 now. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Now, everybody's against him or for him. You gathering with him or scattering abroad. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Now, that verse has disturbed many a person. Now, Why is the unpardonable sin related to the Holy Spirit? Why is it? He said you can talk about the Son of Man, you can speak against him and be forgiven. But he said, when you speak against the Holy Spirit, when you speak against the Holy Spirit, when you won't listen to him, when you will not obey the Holy Spirit, and you speak against the Holy Spirit, he said, your forgiveness is over. I mean, you will not receive forgiveness. Now, let me say this, and we're coming to that text. He said, a greater than Jonas is here. A greater than Jonas is here. Now, you know, Jesus is a greater than Jonas. But if I could reverently, in this message, and get you to understand it, I would say it. We have a greater, watch it now. Oh, I feel like pulling off these old boots I'm wearing. A greater than Jesus is here. A greater than Jesus. You'd say, Brother Olaf, how could that be possible? A greater than Jesus in many respects. And Jesus said, it's expedient that I go away because I'm going to send you another comforter. And he'll be able to comfort more people than I've been able because I'm limited. You see, I'm living in this little old 150 pounds of clay. And he said, I can be only in one place at one time. And he said, when he comes, he'll cover the globes. He'll be everywhere. And dear friends, the thing that ought to challenge us, even though I say it so reverently, I mean carefully, when I say a greater than Jesus is here, I mean, that's the greatest statement I ever made in my life, to think that anybody, and yet in some senses that it had to be so, because I'll tell you why. When he came to instruct us in the word and lead us into all truth. A greater, Jesus, he didn't, when Jesus was here, he didn't even have a written book. Oh, I mean the whole book. He had to leave before we got the New Testament, before we got, I mean, Jesus had to live before they could record his life. And so he walked and talked among men. They saw him, the living word, but they didn't have, the interpreter, actually, in fullness as we, and I hope you see what I'm trying to tell you. And so right through the we didn't have any churches, therefore we couldn't have letters to the churches, see, back over in the Old Testament. And Jesus only had some part, and of course he started, the Bible said in Luke chapter 24, said he began at Moses and all the prophets. And Bible said he exposed, he became an expositor. And when he took the scripture, he exposed himself in the scripture. That's what he's doing. Oh, I tell you, that's a great exposition. You hear somebody said, well, I'm going to go to exposition hall. Greatest exposition hall I went to is when I went to Jesus. Well, I tell you, I'm still exploring. I haven't even seen, I don't think of even, I've just been out on the porch all this time. I never have gotten inside like, you know, but I'm learning. And oh, how precious it is. And so Jesus had, he had Moses, that means Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, and then he had all the prophets. And that's about what he had. And so he began, and listen, I tell you what happened. He took Moses and the prophets and got those fellows turned around. I mean, he made them do a 180, didn't he? I mean, he went ahead, and when he got there, and he gave them an old-fashioned case of heartburn. I mean, those two fellows on the road to Damascus, and he didn't have anything but Moses and all the prophets. Brother, I tell you, with the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts of the Holy Spirit, the book of Romans and Galatians, Ephesians and Colossians and Philippians and Hebrews and Revelation, looks to me like we ought to jar the daylights out of our generation with that much. Greater than Jesus is here, because I'll tell you why. We have the Holy Spirit, and then he's got his book. And then I've got to give Jesus a lot of honor now. Because I know he understands, because I think he gave me this thought this morning. And I sure don't want to bring dishonor to him, because he's the best friend I ever had. But we got a greater than Jesus here, because we got the Holy Spirit, we got the Bible, and then we have Jesus up above. See, I mean, a greater than Jesus is here, but not a greater than Jesus is there. See, he's up there now. And we got him, we got the Holy Spirit here. Holy Spirit's here. Only God I know in the world is the Holy Spirit. I mean, he's the one, he introduces everybody to Jesus, ever knows him. I mean, he makes everybody know the Word of God, ever intends to know it. I mean, he's the only instructor I know. Now, I know we talk about professors and college instructors, and we talk about going off to college to make a preacher out of you. Brother, the Holy Spirit's only make a preacher out of you.
Amen.
He's the only one to tell you what Jesus wants you to know. A greater than Jesus is here right now. And Jesus is there. But I tell you what, I think Jesus, if it come here, huh? I believe he can be here again, and we won't be here long. And then I'm going there. Amen? I'm going there. Ah, but it's a joy to be here as long as the Holy Spirit's here. But one of these days, dear friends, my Bible says that the restrainer, strong man, you know who the strong man in the house is, huh? It's the Holy Spirit. That's the strong man. Couldn't be me. I'd be the weak man. He'd be the strong man. said, somebody got to come get a hold of the strong man. And said, to get rid of the strong man, get him out of there, see. And I tell you, fellas, when the Holy Spirit fills our life with love and with joy and peace and long-suffering and with the good things of God, I tell you, the strong man comes in to reside. And the devil comes up and he said, well, I tell you, I don't see any liquor in there. I don't see any cigarettes in there. I don't hear any cussing in there. And that house is clean and served, man. Man, smells different. They act different. Said, look at this. Man, they're singing, this is my story in there. Telling the story all the way. Man, I tell you, I believe I'd like to get in there and get a hold of him. Old devil raps on the door, and the strong man goes to the door. Come on now, he said. Who do you want? Well, he said, I want to get that fellow singing, this is my story, and this is my song. That's the wrong song. He used to sing my song. He said, you'll have to reckon with me. That fellow's dead. I live here now. Amen? Boy, the old devil looks at the strong man and said, well, I better beat it. I met you one time before. He looks down and sees them scars that Jesus gave him, see, with the sword of the Spirit. And he said, man, this is the man that wrote the sword, made the sword right here. I don't want you to hit me.
Thank you for joining us today on the Family Altar Program with Lester Roloff. You may listen to the preaching and the special music of the Family Altar Program 24 hours a day when you visit our ministry website, roloff.org. We love hearing from our listeners. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you, please write to us at Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, P.O. Box 100, Fort Thomas, Arizona, 85536. Again, that's Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, P.O. Box 100, Fort Thomas, Arizona, 85536. This broadcast is made possible by the prayers and financial support of listeners like you. Thank you for partnering with us, and remember that Christ is the answer.